If you're listening to us today, chances are that you're smart, high-performing, ambitious, and want to make a difference. You likely want to work for an employer or be an employer that values innovation, corporate responsibility, sustainability, making money, and doing good at the same time. For real, not just talking about it. You don't want to compromise quality or contributing to society. You want both. You want to be hired, valued, and promoted for being who you are every day, warts and all, insecurities and all, with your strengths and your weaknesses, your sense of humor, and your intensity. And you want the people that work for you to feel that they are too. You're also in a STEM field or function, science, technology, engineering, and math, since energy and sustainability are clearly STEM fields, but that can be a communicator or an engineer, a finance person or a physicist, an artist or an academic. So how do you do it? Today, we're going to find out from one of the masters, a C-level executive from one of the most well-respected, high-performing, and innovative companies in the world. Welcome to Green Connections Radio, where we help you live green, work green, and earn green. I'm Joan Michelson. We are talking innovation with top leaders and thinkers in energy and sustainability and those who are transforming our world. I recently attended the U.S. News & World Report STEM Conference, and I met a host of amazingly talented people. At the session on diversity and inclusion, there was one panelist whose insights and perspective really caught my eye, and I knew I just had to have her on our show. So without further ado, I'd like you to meet Barbara Wai, Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer and Vice President of Human Resources at Intel. In that role, she heads up diversity and technology diversity and technology initiative as well. She's trained as an electrical engineer and started at Intel in 1995 as an engineer and grew with the company over all these years. So she knows how to climb the corporate ladder. Welcome to Green Connections Radio, Barbara, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and I'm excited to talk with you today.
I appreciate that. So let me just start off here, right? Out of the gate, what are your biggest challenges right now?
Yeah, so what I would say about that, if I think about our biggest challenge, Intel has been on this journey since 2015, where our CEO announced that he wanted his workforce to be representative of our community. So since we launched our initiative in 2015, we set a really bold goal with a $300 million commitment back in it to really be on that journey. And for us, that has been the challenge. The challenge is to ensure that Intel is the first tech company to achieve full representation in its workforce. We are well on our way. I'm super excited about that. Since we launched the initiative, we pulled it in 2 years ahead of schedule, and we're planning to achieve full representation by the end of this year, 2018.
So what is full representation anyway? What does that mean? Can you define it for me?
Yeah, so when you think of, yep, absolutely. When you think of a full representation metric, you should think of market availability. So for example, if in the current market today, the percentage of women in technology is 25%, Intel aims to be at that market availability metric or higher. In contrast with, say, population representation, we know women really make up about 50% of the workforce. So Intel's initial goal is to achieve its market availability metric, and then we want to continue towards achieving stronger metrics beyond this first market availability metric.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So it's market availability. That's really helpful. You guys are big fans of innovation, and as I said in my intro, you're a highly innovative company. But you have a really unique job in this because innovative people don't fit in, okay? I've worked in corporate America for many years, Chrysler, American Express, Deloitte, et cetera. I've always been brought in as a change agent myself, so frankly, I speak also from my own experience. But I also talk to a lot of innovative people, and many of them become entrepreneurs, but many of us want to work in a big company. But we keep getting screened out by people who just, they say they want innovative people, but then they screen out people who, in their view, don't fit in, which sometimes means doesn't look like them. But how do you deal with, how do you hire for innovative people, and how do you address the issue of not, quote, fitting in? Because sometimes those are the people you need the most.
Innovation is in the DNA of Intel, and frankly, is the heartbeat of our company. And I think as we strive towards increase in diversity and inclusion, at the heart of that is because we know that diversity of thought, creativity, having a swag around not being the same, because we know sameness does not necessarily create innovation. So in terms of our processes and methodologies, we really thrive on innovation, and we intentionally strive for diversity and inclusion to bring forth innovation, because when in doing so, it actually brings forth the best ideas, best results, and also just a higher level of creativity and solving problems.
Okay, but I want to get really brass tacks here, because, I mean, I looked on your website. You obviously use an applicant tracking system of some kind, and those tend to immediately screen in and screen out, and they go by, you know, checking the boxes of XYZ position and things like that. And innovative people don't necessarily have a resume that checks off all those kinds of boxes that an ATS might look for. So how do you deal with that?
Yeah, so one of the things that I'm most proud about at Intel is we have a inclusive hiring methodology. And what I mean by that is it really consists of three key strategies for us. One is we have a first you must post a job. We know in many cases that in many companies that often jobs aren't posted, and we believe that is super important to A, post the job. Second, we bring in a diverse slate of candidates, which is also critically important. If you're really trying to get diverse minds and creative minds, you should also have a diverse slate of candidates. And then we also employ a diverse set of interviewers on the other side. And we think that also brings in just a strong diversity mix. I also think it's important to go where the talent is. So at Intel, we have strong partnerships with what we would refer to as our Pathways programs. But what these programs look like in practicality, if you want to kind of get brass tacks using your words, is we actually partner with historically Black colleges and universities, as well as Georgia Tech University, focused on programs that's driving diverse talent so that we, too, can kind of go to where the talent is. And we bring these universities, in terms of the interns and the scholars, on site as part of an internship, which is a paid internship, of course. And we're seeing high conversion rates between those internship programs and bringing that talent into Intel.
Okay, so our audience is mostly mid-career people, though. They're not starting out in their career. Mm-hmm. They've been in the workforce for 10, 15, 20 years or so. So if they want to, mm-hmm. they have experience that is different and unique, and you know, might not be in a computer chip company, for example, or even in a computer company. So if they want to, but they see themselves in a particular role that they a transferability of their skills, and they want to apply for a position, or they want to connect with Intel, how does your system, your three-part system, attract and screen in those kinds of innovators?
Yeah, so I would say Intel has a multitude of openings, both for what we would call experienced hires and non-experienced hires. And the inclusive hiring methodology practices actually works for both internal talent as well as the external talent. So I would strongly encourage individuals that's interested in working at Intel to apply. And we do quite a bit of our recruiting and resources at various events. Large organizations such as the Grace Hopper organization is a place where Intel does a fair amount of recruiting. Society of Women Engineers is also another big organization where we do a ton of recruiting with as well.
Oh, I'm sure. And IEEE and all of those. So you've run different operations and facilities and divisions there. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the innovation process itself. Take me into the room. What's it like? How do you unearth the best ideas in a room? Let's say you walk in with a challenge and you say, okay, we're trying to do X. What happens? How does this start? Who's in the room? Take us through that moment.
Yeah, so clearly it would vary, obviously, from topic to topic. So in my current role as the Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer, it may look like on a day-to-day basis that I'm partnering with an employee resource group, and we have over 29 resource groups. And let's just take a topic of retention. We, as most companies, should be keeping an eye towards the, not only hiring the talent, but what you're doing to retain the talent. If we're taking on a topic such as retention, we'll bring together multiple stakeholders. It could be new hires who just started at Intel to get that perspective. We may also bring in more experienced talent that can actually speak to what has been the levers that actually result in retaining them at Intel. And basically, we would bring them into, you know, a conference room inside of Intel. In many cases, these conversations could be facilitated by a project manager that would enlist all of us into what should be the vision around retention and what are some of those critical levers that would result in talent being retained inside of a company like Intel, and frankly, what has been some of the barriers. And through, you know, you would expect to see sticky notes in the process, flip chart paper, multiple minds, people coming at ideas from a different point of view. And we have something in Intel that we refer to as disagree and commit. So once we get to in a discussion like this where we've committed to a number of ideas that we want to pursue, there may be some of us in that room at that point in time that may not be their idea, may not have been the idea that was voted up as the number one idea. But when we leave that room, we disagree and commit to the plan and move ourselves forward. So having an engineering background and being well-versed in problem-solving techniques and skills, a lot of that comes into play inside of Intel because we have such a large number of engineers in the company. So it wouldn't be foreign for us to debate on what problem are we solving, what would be the return on an impact, questions around what happens, frankly, what's the cost of staying the same. So I think it's a process that I refer to as highly innovative, focused with an eye towards results because we are a highly driven company and also want to ensure that we're placing our energies and ergs towards the right problem to yield the right results.
Perfect. That's you answered a few of my other questions in that answer, too, which is great. I love this disagree and commit because that's one of the bugaboos around big companies and consensus. So what happens, let's say you try one of these strategies and you don't get the results that you want or you don't get the results that you want within a given the time frame that you were looking for. How do you know when to declare failure, if you will, or learning lesson? And how do you know when to move on or stay the course and just say, well, it's taking longer than we thought?
Yeah, so what I would say there is, on any of these projects, whether we're trying to get a product out the door by a certain deadline, or if we're trying to drive diversity and inclusion strategies across the company, we tend to start with, what problem are we solving? And if we are solving that problem, what are the associated metrics with those goals? And there's a check-in most often on a quarterly basis as to where you are, you know, against those goals. So if you take our diversity and inclusion work, you know, we set out to be at full representation by 2020. We have a monthly meeting with our what we refer to as a committee. This committee governs that work, ensures that any barriers in the way would be removed, and they're also holding us accountable to achieving the goals that we stated we were going to achieve. And our CEO actually sits on this executive committee on a monthly basis. So I think your point about failing, the way I think about failure is kind of a fast application of iterative learning. So I really don't, so if we are not hitting the goals, the idea would be to fail fast and shift to either setting different goals or trying to go deeper on what are some of the root causes that are getting in the way of you achieving success, and really have an honest dialogue around what those things are. And what I would say, constructive conversations around how we can show up differently. So I think once we set and establish goals inside of Intel, we bring everyone along. We're pretty much, when I think of Intel and the various roles that I've played at Intel, we are a pretty scrappy group, and we don't mind getting in and owning our problems and also architecting different pathways to achieve the success that we intend to achieve and to really deliver on the goals that we set out to deliver on. So I really embrace failure. I think that's where you learn the most. But I would rather my team to make a decision that was wrong if they were decisive and made it right away, because you can recover from it much more quickly.
Right. The tricky part is you don't really know if you just need to give it more time all the time, I imagine, or if you, I guess in your monthly or quarterly assessments, you're determining whether you just have to give it more time or whether it's time to. I love your acronym, Fast Application of Iterative Learning. I think that's terrific. That's very clever.
Yeah, I think the key here is engineers just have a love for problem solving. So, you know, when things aren't working, that's where we thrive. We're designed to get in and dig in and, you know, look at the root causes, do your fishbone diagram around why does this thing exist, and keep asking the why until you get to the root cause of the issues. And then that helps you to really formulate really clear solutions or strategies and tactics for how you want to tackle this problem. I'll give you just a brief example of one of these. And as we were trying to address some of our retention challenges inside of Intel, one of the things that we did was held a session similar to what you were talking about. And what we learned through that process was that oftentimes when employees are leaving the company and they're doing exit interviews, you really don't get the real reasons for that employee leaving. You would tend to get more of a polite answer or professional answer around why I would be leaving, in this case, Intel. So one of the innovations that we came up with as a result of this was what we're calling our warm line. And this is a service so that if you're inside of Intel and you're having retention challenges, you can actually get access to a case manager. That case manager will then help you and work with you and your manager and relevant partners to triage what your retention challenge is and resolve it there, so that you have a safe place to have a real conversation about why you're really leaving. And we also have case managers that can work with you to resolve that challenge. And in doing so, we've had about 10,000 cases with a 90% save rate. And that too has helped Intel to really accelerate its progress towards results to full representation, because we've been able to have real conversations with our employees around what it takes to retain them. And we actually get really solid predictive analytics around why employees are leaving, as opposed to some of the answers that were happening at the exit interviews. Because if you tap into an employee at the exit interview, it's too late at that point. You've lost the employee. So I'm just sharing this as just one innovative way to kind of pull in some of the conversations that you could be having with your employees and finding better ways to retain that talent, which will ultimately help us in terms of achieving our full representation. But we can also understand what are the critical issues getting in the way of employees retaining at Intel.
Oh, I bet. And I bet you get all kinds of great data from that, depending upon how it's kept. And obviously, as a technology company, I'm sure your data analytics, you dream about data analytics.
Yeah. I mean, we say at Intel that data is our first language after English. So data, yes, is critically important here.
I bet. I'll send you an interview I did with a great, brilliant data analytics person. I know that you need to go, but I want to ask you one quick question, if I may. And that is, we like to give some kind of direction to our audience. And you have climbed the proverbial corporate ladder as a woman, and frankly, as a person of color as well. And you've been incredibly successful. You've transitioned. You've pivoted. You've done all kinds of dance. You're very solid in all your skills. What would you suggest to a woman who wants to be you, who wants to advance her career, not necessarily in HR, but who wants to advance her career and use who she is? And stay employed, not as an entrepreneur, but just, you know, work in a company like Intel.
Yes, I say the first one for me is just continuously learn, and just have an appetite for always learning. We're in just a remarkable period in our history of just enormous change and huge technological advances. So I think, to really position yourself, you really have to have an appetite for learning. I'm working on a PhD right now.
Wow.
Because I value the learning process. If you aren't learning, you should be unlearning or relearning. I think that's just huge in terms of advancing your career, is just having this appetite for learning. The second thing I would say is, you know, forge strong networks. If you're inside of a corporation or outside of a corporation, you should really be intentional about forging really strong networks, and especially around sponsorships, and being clear in delineating the differences between sponsorships and mentorships would be something that I would advise women to do. And then finally, just stay authentic to yourself and be grounded in who you are and the value that you bring to the table. I think far too often as women, we don't value ourselves really as highly as we should, and we're hesitant in many cases about going for the stretch assignment or going for the big job because our inner voice is telling us that maybe we aren't ready. So I would challenge us to stretch ourselves and say, yes, you are ready, and go for those big opportunities and really know your worth and your value and add taxes to it, because my fear is that sometimes we undervalue it far too often.
Oh, I think that's brilliant. Yeah, I had a boss once who put in a review that he said somehow Joan manages to stay in touch with everyone she's ever met and turn them into business of relationships for the company. And I thought that was a great way to talk about networking. I really like that.
Yeah, so, you know your value, add taxes. Don't be afraid to go after big opportunities. And I think managing your inner voice and the fears that we bring to the table, because we're also often our worst critic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. By the way, I just wrote a Forbes blog on that self-talk issue, so I'll send that to you also. That's exactly.
Yeah, I'd be happy to read it.
Yeah, I just wrote I wrote it. I was inspired by the unfortunate series of suicides and the rate, but I think a lot of that is we all have normal neuroses where we're in the room and something happens and it's like, well, what you say in that moment can be critical, and it's dependent upon what you say to yourself in that moment.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
On an ongoing basis. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I could talk to you for quite a while, I know, but you need to run. So is there anything else that you want to say before I close it out?
No, thank you for having me today, and look forward to all of the great things that you'll continue to do, and just really appreciate you having me today to talk about Intel and just some of my own experiences. And thanks again.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And thank you for being such a great role model and inspiration, and for keeping us all authentic. I think it's great, and for helping to build a company where us crazy innovative types can can feel that there is a place where we can work too. So I appreciate that.
Great. Absolutely. Have a good day. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Barbara. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So thank you so much for joining us today on Green Connections Radio. Barbara Wye, Chief Diversity Officer of Intel. That was a terrific conversation, as I knew it would be. We're going to be conducting a survey shortly, by the way, on some of these issues, too. So please sign up for our newsletter or connect with me on LinkedIn. And we'd love to have your input. Love, love, love to have your input and to help us improve Green Connections, too. So what did you hear Barbara say that resonated with you? What step will you take in your career or your work based on our conversation? Tweet it to us at Joan Michelson or post it on our Facebook page and like the page while you're there. And ask to join our new private Facebook group or email it to us at info@greenconnectionsradio.com. You can also leave it on iTunes with your review. You can find us online on greenconnectionsradio.com, iTunes, iHeartRadio, where we come to you from today, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, and anywhere you like to listen to your favorite podcast. I'm Joan Michelson. Thank you for joining us. See you next time. Do you want even more great conversations about what's happening with sustainability in lifestyle issues? Check out some podcasts from one of our new sponsors, about a dozen great shows focused on lifestyle industries on Mouth Media Network, with top brand executives, industry leaders, and innovators in fashion, beauty, travel, real estate, content creation, and even spirituality industries and more. Check out Mouth Media Network, powered by Sennheiser, on iTunes, Google Play, and at mouthmedianetwork.com.